Come on down, it's Nailed, a song-by-song journey through the world of Year Zero. I'm Blake.
I'm Jessica.
Did I say it right that time?
I think so.
I think the last time I said step right up.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, too late to change it now. This is not a song episode, though.
Mm-mm.
Letter by letter, we're going through the world of Year Zero. That's what I should have said.
Yeah. Well, fix it now. Fix it in post. Do it
okay.
now.
Okay. We asked for people's letters, and people wrote in not only about Year Zero, but also about the current Nine Inch Nails tour, Peel It Back,
mm-hmm.
because, well, we were just going to do a Year Zero letter episode, but how could we not get, like, tour reactions while a tour is literally going on
yeah.
as we record this? We can't not talk about it.
Can't not talk about it.
And we got some good ones.
Yeah.
Letters and voice memos.
Although people are going to think this is crazy, but I have not listened to any of the full concerts that are floating around.
Oh, I'm not going to listen to the entire concert.
No, I'll listen to like little snippets if people post yeah. them, but I won't listen to the whole thing because, in my opinion, there's no mystery anymore. Mm-hmm. And I want yeah. to have some surprises.
I'm okay with spoiling these set lists for myself,
yes.
but I'm not going to spoil the sound of the whole thing.
Or,
plus,
yeah,
it's really just
the new
not,
arrangements. Like, I'm not going
to. It's not going to do it justice to hear someone's recording out in the crowd, you know?
Yeah,
we'll
not, if you, not if you have some rude ass people around you who are just talking.
We'll hear it when we get there in August. Should we do Year Zero letters first or show reaction letters?
Let's do show reaction first, I think, and then we'll do
okay.
Year Zero. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay.
Should we go to Daniel first?
Yeah, let's do Daniel first, and I have it queued up right here.
Okay.
So.
It says, this is from Daniel, thank you. My reaction. Let's see, the London show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see, yeah, where they played at the O2 Arena, I believe.
Mm.
A lot of people we know were there.
So I went to the London show with my girlfriend last night, and she really enjoyed it. She'd never seen Nine Inch Nails before.
Humble brag.
And she wasn't really familiar with them as well. But, yeah, she really enjoyed it. And it was quite funny because she enjoyed it more because of the tech issues, because Trent showed off his personality more.
Interesting.
And spoke to the crowd, and obviously he threw his guitar up in the air, and the headstock broke when it landed, and he, like, stamped on it as well. He was also throwing mics around. Like, he was apologetic at the end of the gig as well. And was like, sorry for the fuck-ups. But he was quite funny. You know, he was very dry-humoured and showed his personality off a bit more. And there was, I can't remember what song it was, but there's a really cool moment where Trent was given a handheld mic without his effects, and he was going up to, like, Robin, and Robin was screaming into the mic, because I don't think any of the band's mics were working. And I'd never seen them interact with each other, not on recent tours anyway, and that was really cool to see Trent and Robin together, like, screaming in the same mic. I thought that was sick. The other thing I was going to say was a lot of fans have been, like, wondering why we haven't been getting any of, like, the new Nine Inch Nails, like, Tron music, and I'm wondering if these Boys Noise remixes that we're hearing, like, are part of the album.
That's
I'm kind of hoping
theory.
Not. I'm hoping that it's new music, but.
Sorry to pause it. I think we would, Boys Noise would have been credited by now. Like,
I don't know. They keep things so maybe. Like under wraps. That
I think
it's,
it would be disappointing if it was just like, because the giant Nin logo comes up.
Mm-hmm.
It would be disappointing to add a plus someone else at the end. Kind of a bait and switch.
I mean, there could just be some.
But maybe.
Maybe.
But maybe.
It's making me think that the new Tron album will be remixes and new versions of existing Nine Inch Nails
songs. That may be true.
Songs. So hopefully not. But yeah, really enjoyed it, man. It was really cool. The visuals are incredible. And the crowd is pretty nice. So yeah, great vibes.
I think it's going to be like remixes and new arrangements that are done with Boys Noize, maybe, or some.
Since they did that trailer that had a remixed Something I Can Never Have, I thought, yeah, okay, maybe it is that. I never thought it would be featuring someone else. That's the difference. Although,
don't know for sure.
The stuff they're doing seems to be cool. I've only heard a tiny bit of it, but it'd be kind of weird. We all just want a new fucking album of new songs, please. Please. Okay, so good, great voicemail. Thank you. And a lot to talk about, but do you like when musicians really show their personality up there?
I do, because I feel like with these big shows that everything is very choreographed, which you have to do because of lighting cues or the visuals you have or, You know, so I feel like there is like a very limited set list. So when something goes wrong and they have to either like improvise or whatever, I think that does let that kind of facade fall a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That is between the artist and the crowd, because these big arena gigs are just
right.
Yeah, so timed and
yeah, I like when they talk to the crowd off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Trent's case, personality equals anger problem, throwing shit around.
It's a Taurus thing. You wouldn't understand. Yeah.
Hate to be a piece of equipment that fails when Trent's around.
Yeah. So is that the show where Robin took over vocal duties on Reptile, or was that a different show with different?
Don't quote me on this, but I think that's what he was talking about, because I do remember the pictures of Trent and Robin singing into the same mic like olden times. I was kind of shocked that there weren't just like backup mics ready to go. That seemed like lack of preparedness to me, but I don't know how they do their thing. Mm-hmm. I know that Trent doesn't do wireless. He always has a wired mic, as far as I can recall. So it's a little bit different of a situation, but it really shouldn't be that hard to have backups ready to go. But then you got to run cables out there. I don't know. What a pain in the ass. Glad it worked out in the end.
Man, you'd think we'd have better ways of doing this by now.
Yeah, you'd think we'd have figured this out. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Do you want me to read Yasko's?
Yes, and we hope we're saying your name right.
Yasko? Look, I typed into Google how to pronounce, spelled this name, and wrote German next to it.
Okay, because this was the Cologne concert. Uh-huh. That's Germany, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Hello, nailed guys. That's funny. It's Yasko from Germany, proud listener of your podcast since the TDS episodes. Thank you. Inspired by the latest episode about the Dublin concert, I thought I'm going to write you about what I saw at the Cologne concert as sort of field correspondent. We'd love to have more field correspondents.
Winky face. Emoji. Also, this gig does not pay, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is all volunteer. So, where is everybody? Where do I start? The Lanxess Arena in Cologne. I don't know how you say that. Lanxess. Sorry, I'm dumb. In Cologne was maybe too big for Nin, because according to the ticket website, there were still a lot of tickets available. And from what I saw, the arena wasn't sold out. Whole sections on the top floor were empty. I think Jess predicted this, right? A lot of people did. Sad. We want to see it filled, but they're not 21 Pilots.
I just don't think of them as an arena band. I know that sounds stupid.
Were they at one time?
I don't think they've ever been big enough to be a huge arena band. But think about it. So at their peak, which would probably be TDS to Fragile era.
Yeah, of course.
With the most like radio airplay. I mean, not necessarily like any kind of creative peak or whatever. Mm-hmm. But with regards to videos and radio. They went from smaller venues to bigger venues, but they never did arenas until the Fragile? And that did not sell out.
Right.
So I don't know. And I feel like probably, I don't know, because I didn't go to any of the Lights in the Sky tour or anything. Yeah. Were those outdoor arenas?
They might have been.
And they could have been smaller arenas too.
They can fill like every kind of venue except for
like 20,000 seated, right. Like a United Center.
They can fill amphitheaters, theaters, stadiums. Is a stadium different from an arena? No, not really, is it?
Well, when I think of stadiums, I think of football stadiums, and I think of Taylor Swift, like, in her Eras tour.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of when I think of stadiums. So, no, I don't think they could sell out.
They can, obviously, they're popular and can fill out big-ass venues all day long, but maybe not like United Center.
I feel like if you're going to want to sell out a huge arena tour, make the tour smaller. Don't have as many dates.
But then that sucks for fans, too.
It does, but to travel more. Yeah, but that's the only – I mean, for them. I'm not trying to, like, degrade or be mean. I'm sorry. That's not what I'm trying to do, but
– I'm sorry we stopped in the middle of the letter. Anyway, Boys Noize. Very good choice. Expected to be a very bad techno act. I was proved wrong. Start of NIN. I liked the quiet, or should I say still, start unexpected for a heavy band. Okay. Right Where It Belongs with last chorus of Somewhat Damaged at the end. Ruiner, first part acoustic, then the second part bangs hard. See, that I don't think I've heard any of, and I want that to surprise me. Oh, well, if we hear it.
Yeah, if we don't, then I'll go back and
I love Ruiner, so I would love to get that. The Fragile. I need to hear that at our show. I love The Fragile.
You know what I want to hear? Because, you know, spoiler alert for people who don't want to know about set lists. Did they really do the Twin Peaks theme?
It said there was like an asterisk on Setlist FM that says they played a tape. So it was just
like an intro tape. Why did they even include that in the setlist? Then don't do that because that makes me think.
I know. I don't know why Setlist FM is including.
Because someone did that. I mean, it's all fan based, right? Fans upload the setlist. Yeah. So,
but it's like still on there.
Oh well. Anyway, sorry.
It makes it seem intentional. So maybe that was just how they wanted to walk on. Okay, The Fragile. Fuck, how beautiful was that? Trent, I need an acoustic album or a live CD of this tour. Yeah, how about Still Part 2? And a lot of people are saying they want a live album. It's been a very, very long time.
Very, very, very long time.
Well, yeah, and if you include the DVD Beside You in Time, 20 years. But that's not an album. According to setlist.fm, the Piggy remix was played. That's not true. Yeah, that's kind of weird. I think they might have removed that by now. But there have been a lot of errors if you look at setlist too early on there. Transition from the B stage to the main stage with instrumental part of Eraser. Trent isn't blowing the mouthpiece.
Trent is
blowing the mouthpiece in the beginning. Hey, I saw a picture of that. Would love to hear that. See that. Ilan Rubin and Robin fucking Fink on the screen. TDS era Robin Fink. My first bisexual gay celebrity crush. Okay, fair.
Yeah, I thought he was hot too.
By the way, where is the Fink Files Part 2? Fuck, people keep asking this.
Okay, yeah. So I won't do the Fink Files Part 2 until Robin comes back to the band because I think that makes just more sense.
In the chronology.
In the chronology of, yes, of the nailed.
So that would be
timeline.
What, in the Slip era?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll be there soon. Okay, then the next part of the set, Yasko goes on. Wish, March of the Pigs, hot take, maybe overplayed. It's played a shit ton, but I'm not going to say overplayed because I want to hear it. It's one of my favorite Nen songs.
I know, I fucking love it.
I need it, I crave it. I think they didn't play it on our first night, Red Rocks. Reptile, Copy of A. Gave up. Was never a fan of this song, but this performance changed my opinion. Okay, cool. Dang. Must have been those red and blue lights. Yeah, a lot of this is very by the numbers and inset for that section, at least. It's been the way it goes. One banger after another, and goddamn, Reptile is heavy. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Again to the B stage with Boys Noize. For Vessel only and Came Back Haunted. I'm super excited for Vessel and Came Back Haunted. And to a lesser extent only. I never thought I would be excited for Came Back Haunted. But now I am because it's a new version.
I like Came Back Haunted.
I think it's fine.
I like it a lot.
I think it's fine. Whatever. I like Copy of A better. Trent, hardcore electronic album win? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's coming for Tron. You never know. Back to main stage. Somewhat Damaged. Twice this evening. Was it?
Well, oh, they have the little, yeah.
That is wild. You get the little acoustic section of it up front and then the real song. That's pretty cool. Heresy, Closer with The Only Time.
Interpolation.
Yeah, which is the only way they do it now.
Yeah.
Apparently. That's how we saw it in 2022. I'm Afraid of Americans, Band Introduction, and a Little Speech About Bowie. And Trent Banging Those Tambourines. You knew that tambo had to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Less Than, again, Trent can't keep his hands off these tambourines. That's one of my favorite songs to see live.
I love Less Than.
Mm-hmm. I just like the song. Head Like a Hole, no instruments were harmed during the performance. It's a rarity. And finally, Hurt. This is not what Yasko wrote, but they were doing a double H for a few shows instead of a triple H, which I think is fine. Vary it a little bit. You don't have to play Hand That Feeds every single show.
Play Down In It, please. Thank you.
Yeah. That was played rarely on 2022, right? Maybe only a few times and we didn't hear it.
Mm.
Merch. Good-looking t-shirt, like the TDS theme. Sadly, nothing in my size. I'm a big boy.
All right, let's get some inclusive sizing here, Nin Merchers.
I mean, they might have been sold out. Maybe a bunch of big boys were ahead of them in line. Some vinyl CDs would have been nice, or at least a tour program. Mm. Or I'm adding this. How about a poster? And who the hell needs AirTag holders?
Okay, listen.
I don't know.
Some people have ADHD and just put their keys down in random places.
You need lots of AirTags for everything you own. I want one just for the novelty of it.
It's bonkers.
I don't remember how expensive it is, but if it's cheap, I'll get it. For My First Time with NIN. Okay, this is the reactions. Fucking awesome. Some people say the concert was too short, about 90 minutes. Yeah, that is kind of short. But I think it is perfect, not too long, not too short. I think it was perfect the way it was done. Yeah, you've called this the Eras, but if it was the length of Eras, that's kind of too fucking long.
I would totally withstand a three-hour Nine Inch Nails show, but I don't know if the band themselves can do it.
They shouldn't be expected to do such a thing. They're older men. Liked the minimalistic approach of the stage setup. Is this the reason why the tour is called Peel It Back? I think it probably is.
Probably make it, yep.
And now my hot take. Uh-oh. Why changing between two stages? Stay on the B stage, just Trent, Atticus, Alessandro, Robin, and or Boys Noise. That would be crazy as fuck, and play in smaller venues. Yeah, kind of like we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
We want a theater club tour. Would be really hard to get tickets, though.
Yeah, and you'd probably have to pay like $1 zillion, so.
Yeah. Would you rather they stay on one stage?
You know, I really don't have a preference for that because I haven't seen it.
It's a weird gimmick to go back and forth, but and it seems really hard to pull off the way they're just walking through the crowd. But I do get why they're doing it. Can't wait for the Tron soundtrack. Still waiting for the Year Zero, the Slip vinyl.
We are too. Yeah,
someone send us those for free. Where's Deviations Part 2? Good fucking question. I would like that for like TDS or anything. Yo, Trent. Okay, this is what the writer said. Sorry. Yo, Trent, please make the Downward Spiral Deviations to the Upward Twist. That'd be great. Just a little pose that no one can see. Inventor of the Upward Twist. Thanks for making this podcast. Thank you for listening. Well, we might as well answer this now because I'll forget to later. It says a few questions for the next nail bag. Do you guys already know how you're going to handle the Ghosts 1-4 episodes? I can tell you what I would like to do.
Well, read the rest of his.
Okay. Is it going to be one episode for Ghost 1, etc.? Like one episode per ghost, or like Year Zero, one episode for one song. Absolutely not for a 32 song album or whatever it is.
We're probably never going to do the one song at a time thing again.
No, because it fucking sucks. I'm kidding. It's great. When all the halos are done, are you going to start with Null, Seed, and Sigil, or are those reserved for bonus episodes?
Okay. So I know that you're planning Ghosts.
Yes.
That you've been thinking about it for a while.
I'm going to spearhead Ghosts, and I can do the Slip as well. If you want. But Ghosts, I would just like to do four parts, one per Roman numeral, one through four. Pretty simple, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be all that involved because we're just going to listen to instrumentals and give our reactions. We'll talk about some of the making of, I'm sure. But four episodes, I think that's all we need.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, good.
I concur with that, yes.
The slip, I'd like to keep short. That's my opinion for now.
I mean, in previous episodes, we would just do the songs that were on each side of the vinyl, yeah. right? That's how we split it up. We might go back to something like that for the slip, but it just depends.
I actually always loved the slip, so I'm not trying to give it short shrift, but we may go back to our old way of doing things, like Jess just said. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves. It's too soon to decide that. Null, Seeds, and Sigils. Those could definitely be part of the bonus episodes, the bonus feed. I think those should go in there.
Yeah, I agree.
Whether we will cover every single one of those on this podcast, I don't know. What do you think?
Not 100 on that. We're not sure.
So that's not a certainty yet.
But yeah, most likely bonus episodes for those.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks so much for writing that very nice email, Yasko. And for your tour reactions.
Okay, so we have another tour reaction.
Our third and final Peel It Back react.
Do you want me to go ahead and start playing it?
Yes.
Do you want to introduce it?
This is from, is it Lara or Laura?
I think it's Lara.
Lara. From Germany. Hello, Blake and Jessica. Here is my reaction to my first Nine Inch Nails concert. Oh, it was her first one, so this is exciting.
Hello, Jessica. Hello, Blake. Hello, fellow listeners. Lara here, and as I promised, I sent you a little reaction after I saw Nine Inch Nails for the first time. That was yesterday in Cologne, and I'm still hungover from it because I caught a nasty sunburn because of the weather, and I have white-ass skin, so I now look like Mr. Krabs, but it was worth it. And obviously, emotionally, it was extremely draining, and it was also really intense, so yeah, that still makes me feel really empty in the moment. I can say that it was for me a surprise in the beginning that they booked that arena, because that arena is 20,000 people capacity. And if they sold out, it would have been the biggest show they would have ever played in Germany. They didn't sold out completely. It was around 16,000 people, as I read. But man, the crowd was so loud and so intense, they made up for the 4,000 people that were too stupid to not buy tickets. Before I come to Nine Inch Nails itself, I want to say something about Boys Noize, because I really liked what he did. It was building tension all the way. I couldn't see him, but it was really great set, and I think most of the people were digging it. They were dancing around, you know, at least in the front part of the A stage or the main stage, however you want to call it. And most of the people didn't even know he was German, which kind of was a missed opportunity.
Oh, yes.
But they kind of asked around when he was playing a German song called Paul ist tot, which is a kind of a German punk, post-punk song, I think from the 80s. Great song. But yeah, then people understood that he's actually German. And so I have to say, I really appreciated that. Him as an opener, it was really cool. Even though I also say he played for like a little bit over an hour. And at the end, it felt a little bit long. So I think it would have been better if he would have had a bit of a shorter set, because I think that would have picked the intensity a little bit better than such a huge set.
German-Iraqi. German-Iraqi.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay. Sorry to be pedantic about it. I had to look it up.
Try living with this man.
Good boy.
Yeah, where should I start? When Boys Noize was finished and then the curtain came down, it was loud and then completely silent, which was really cool and intense. We would have been able to hear a piece of paper fell to the floor. You know, it was really, really quiet. And I have to say, I don't know if it comes across at the footage that will float around, but when Trent was singing The Fragile, everybody was singing along, you know, and it was so cool standing there and hearing the arena sing along to such an intense, emotionally intense song. That was my highlight of the acoustic set, if you want to say. And then, which I thought was really hilarious, and I didn't thought that, you know, I thought when I saw clips of the transition to the eighth stage with Eraser, I thought it was like they were playing it somehow, and then Elan and Robin would join in. I actually didn't thought that Trent was there playing the mouthpiece of the saxophone. And when I saw that, I was blown away that he's actually standing there on the B stage playing the mouthpiece of the saxophone.
I just want to interject here and say I'm very disappointed that it's not a McDonald's straw. Just going to say that.
As we thought it was at first.
Do you remember the straws from when you were a kid, though, and how they were striped?
Yeah.
They were different.
They don't stripe them anymore?
I don't know. I never go to McDonald's.
I think now they're clear but striped.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The intro, that was really cool, actually. And when Elan then joined in with the drums, the bass was so extremely heavy. I was standing in the second row and I could feel it. And my friend who was with me and had a seating ticket, he said you could feel it in the seats. It was so intense, but I loved it. The crowd was really wild. There was a lot of moshing going on. I had to fight most of the time to not be totally demolished, and it was actually really cool. But therefore, I couldn't take a lot of pictures. I took 3 pictures, and just 1 picture is somehow okay. So sorry for that, that there's not much outcome out of my side. Luckily, the security handed out water from time to time because it was extremely humid and hot in the arena, and I think it prevented from people collapsing, actually.
Yeah, damn.
That would never happen in America.
No, they'd be like, fuck you, you're on your own.
$10 a bottle.
Although usually when I'm in arenas, they're cold, so I'm kind of surprised it's hot in there. AC problems.
Also, there were quite a lot of crowd surfers. I think there were like 6 or 7 people doing the set that were picked out of the audience. So I think it was a really intense crowd to really seem to enjoy it. But also it's been a long, long time since Nine Inch Nails played an arena show in Germany. I think the last time was in 2009. Yeah, then I have to say the techno part, as I call it, the middle section with Boys Noise. I loved it when I heard it. On footage, but live it's unbelievable. I love it so much, and I'm totally not an electronic person in a bigger sense and like the techno kind of world, but that was amazing. The sound was great, the visuals were great, and it was just really hyping. Even though I understand when people say it feels like in that moment there is a lack of energy in the crowd, but I guess it's more like because, you know, it's not something you can mosh to, so the intensity is different. You feel the intensity in the crowd, but I think it doesn't translate that well in footage.
I get that.
Then I have to say my personal highlight was Less Than. Of course, I hoped they would play The Perfect Drug, but Less Than was really cool. I always loved that song, and obviously seeing Trent playing with the tambourine is always a highlight. And man, he's shaking not only the tambourine but also his old ass butt around a lot. So it was quite fun. And what I noticed actually was he was smiling so much. I think that A, because there were no technical difficulties up to that point, and there weren't the rest of the night. He was just happy, but also I think he just really enjoys himself and the band on this tour, because he was smiling constantly. Wow. Besides maybe playing Hurt, that was it. Not such a smiley song, but other than that, he looked really happy and really relaxed. That goes for the rest of the band. It was really interesting for me. I was focusing from time to time on Robin, and he was totally in a zone. You know, he had his eyes closed like 95% of the show, and he was just wandering around on stage and just really being in the zone and wobbling around, I call it, because he was just whipping from one side to the other. But yeah, he seemed to be really in a zone, and was quite cool to see. Couldn't see Atticus that well because on that stage side there was quite a tall people, so I couldn't see Atticus that much. Saw Alessandro, and when Trent introduced the band and everybody was really hyped up and Alessandro came, I was the loudest because I quite have a special place in my heart for Alessandro because I love his instrumental music so much. Mm-hmm. And I was showing him the heart with my hands. I was screaming like, yes, Alessandro. And he looked at me. And nice. I was somewhere in between of being proud and embarrassed. But I think that is normal. I mean, I just can say I was, and I will be for the rest of my life blown away. I think I'm not quite able to even explain in words right now how I feel, because this is such an important band to me, and especially with me having a ticket for 2018 but not being able to go because of anxiety. It felt so good to finally be able to see them. And yesterday I said to my friend, jokingly, I could just die in this train right now. I would die in happiness. And that's how I feel right now. Last thing, I took a friend with me because I had a seated ticket first before I got standing option. I gave him the ticket and he had no clue who Nine Inch Nails is. He never heard of Nine Inch Nails before. What? And he didn't listen to anything beforehand. So he just took the ticket and saw the show. And we met afterwards and I asked him how he thought the show was. And I wanted to record it, but I totally forgot. Would have been cool to actually hear his reaction. But he said the moment that Trent started singing acoustically, he got goosebumps, and when Eraser started, he was totally in it, and he said he really, really enjoyed the show. He was really blown away, and I think I made someone a Nine Inch Nails fan, which is great, I guess. And
nice
for everybody who will attend the next shows. You are in for a treat, because the band seems to enjoy what they're doing so much, especially Trent. He smiled so much. That's just that what stands out for me from the last show. Just enjoy it. I'm so sorry for this long message. Cut it short if you need to. For all people attending, have fun and just relax. And I know it's hard to not have the urge to take a lot of pictures, but there's so much stuff floating around. Let other people do the work for you and just enjoy the show, because who knows how long we will have the chance to see them live. So, greetings. Sure. I wish you all the best and can't wait for the next episodes. Love you.
Love you too. Thank you, Laura. What? Oh, Jess blew a kiss?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Great reaction. Long is good. Gives us more to think about. I forgot about a very brief one from Peter. It says, Patreon Pete here, longtime listener, etc. I may not be the first to tell you, but just saw Nin in Manchester and they did That's What I Get, second song in. This was back when that was big news.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't make it up. True. Genuinely love the podcast. Been a Nin fan since 94, but have learnt loads from the pod. Peel It Back was the best Nin show I've ever seen. You're in for a treat, Pete. Thank you very much, Pete. Can't wait.
Okay, so I have an update of a couple of things. One is our friend Andy. I hope he doesn't get mad that I read this, but too bad.
No, he didn't give permission.
It's not like there's anything bad.
No, I don't care. Read away. We know the guy. Who cares?
Well, first my morning started off with him sending me a picture of himself in front of the Hacienda.
That's where they should have played. Oh, wait, that's not a venue anymore.
It's not a venue anymore. No, no, damn. No. And it would be probably pretty small, tiny, comparatively. It's apartments now, I believe, or flats.
Boo.
Okay, so he sent me pictures of the venue and then where he was positioned. I think it was a newer arena that they were at. So the first thing that he sent me, really, that is show related, he said there was no pre-show music, and then this song just started absolutely blasting, and it's, I don't even know, it's Our Friends Electric Chris Baja remix. He sent me a picture of like his Apple Watch, because I guess he didn't know what it was. And
so the Gary Newman song, I'm not familiar with the remix though.
Mm-mm. Then he said, incredible stagecraft, very cool set list, truly terrible crowd, so much talking.
I heard that about these Manchester folks. Mm. Not to disparage the whole city, but I heard that they were rowdy.
And then he said it wasn't safe to have my phone out up there because he was going to send me pictures and stuff because he was on the floor. But he did send me a nice picture of Trent. Very good picture.
He close?
He's pretty close.
Yeah, that picture looks close. That's a good shot.
Mm-hmm. And he said, the lads around me yelled at each other the entire electronic set on the B stage, and due to my diminutive stature, I couldn't see it. So I didn't really get to enjoy that section. It was infuriating. Mm-hmm. And he said, the show fucking ruled. I'm just complaining.
Hey, that's being old. You can go to the best show on earth and you're still going to find shit to complain about.
Nah. And then he sent me a screenshot of the set list and he said, I really dispute the label acoustic here. There was not a single acoustic instrument on the B stage.
Yeah.
To us, it's acoustic, okay?
acoustic spiritually, but don't expect any acoustic guitars or pianos.
Yeah. Then he sent an even closer screenshot of just Came Back Haunted with Boys Noise. And he said, I love this song. And the talking was so bad that I didn't realize they were playing it.
Damn. I heard similar stories. And like, you should be screaming, whooping, singing.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck are you talking?
I don't know.
Is it related?
I mean, it's one thing to just lean over to your friend and say, 9 inches.
That's what I get. That's the song. But they just haven't.
But
maybe it's like non-fans who just wandered in by the thousands.
Who just wanders in and gets floor seats?
Just having unrelated conversations.
I think people are just assholes.
Yeah,
that's what I think. The only other thing I wanted to say before we move on to some of the year zero mail is I forgot to ask Viv, who was our first correspondent, a very important question.
Viv on the street.
Mm-hmm. And I said that I forgot to ask about maybe the most important thing, and that was, what was your favorite part of the show? And she said, I'd have to say it was the opening, the middle stage with Trent solo on the piano and right where it belongs. I love the quiet times.
That's nice.
Yeah, I do too.
You had to get that wrap up from her because we forgot.
Yeah, it was rude of me not to ask, and I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So I think that's all I have before we move on to year zero.
And if you want to be another correspondent, by the way, or write us a letter about anything, nailedpod@gmail.com. Let us make you a volunteer on the ground tour correspondent. Mm-hmm. Do you want to take a break and then do the year zero letters?
Yeah, but it's got to be quick, though.
All right, I'm going to pee. Be right back. Okay, what's the first up on year zero letters?
Yeah, so year zero letters. The first one is from John. I'm not going to use the last name, but I'm going to say John D.
Okay, John D.
So he sent us a picture of...
And this was months ago, by the way. Sorry, we're just not getting around to it.
Yeah, but we saved it, so...
We save everything.
Yeah. So he sent an image of a Year Zero sampler. It's really cool, but it has the Art is Resistance flag as the cover. It literally just looks like...
It looks like a bootleg.
Yeah.
It's a CDR.
Yeah, it's a CDR is what it looks like. And he sent us a little bit of information about it. And said, wish I thought of this sooner. I have a Year Zero sampler promo CD that includes four tracks, and it includes Survivalism, Capital G, The Good Soldier, and Vessel. And then John says, I've always wondered if there were plans to release The Good Soldier and Vessel as singles. I also thought it was odd that it skipped the beginning of the end, so it isn't just the first few tracks. Anyway, I love the Art is Resistance flag. And then followed up... And he said, they are fairly rare, but one pops up every now and then. And it's cool that the original recipient's name is printed on the disc. Supposedly, it is encoded in the files to identify leaks. So if you got one of these, your name is on it.
Yeah, they do. And they also do that with like movie
screeners for reviewers.
They burn your name into it. So if you put it out there,
Who is this person? I want to know.
It says John.
Mm-hmm.
I may have to bleep that. I don't know.
We'll say John B.
John B. Broke the rules and sold it on eBay. So, and it's a different John from the one writing the letter, presumably.
Yeah.
But I love that it has capital G, the good soldier, and vessel. Those are my big three. Those are my top three. All right there.
Hmm.
But yeah, they should be singles. So thank you for sending that in. I'd never actually seen one.
No, me either. That was cool. Do you want to do the next one?
Yep. Is it Armand?
Mm-hmm.
Year Zero reminiscing. Oh, Armand's also entering the remix showcase. That's another episode. But if you should do a Year Zero remix and send it in to us, we're going to play them on a episode behind the paywall. Anyway, greetings. This is Armand, a.k.a. Doku, from Houston, Texas, and I'm so thrilled that y'all are finally covering Year Zero, which may be one of my all-time favorite Nin albums. Been listening since y'all covered Broken, and it's nice to see y'all. I'm saying y'all a lot.
It's a Texas thing, Blake.
All right, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see y'all good soldier through the Nin halos. It's kind of hard to read. This podcast has helped me get through some pretty hellish days at work, so I humbly thank you folks for your service. Thank you. I know I need my pet podcast to stay sane throughout the day, so I get it. Now for some reminiscing. Nine Inch Nails has been a constant in my life since I was plopped out into the world in 1998. Gross way to put it.
I love that visual that I have. Okay, mm-hmm. Anyway.
My dad is a huge fan and would play Nin frequently around the house or in the car. So, of course, it rubbed off on me and I became a Nin fan at such a young age. I can perfectly remember the first time I heard Year Zero. I was 9 years old and my dad actually got me out of school early the day it came out. Nine is crazy young to get into Nin, in my opinion, but cool.
When I was 9, I was listening to the Aladdin soundtrack on my top bunk and reading Babysitting Club books. I was not cool.
For me, it was ninja rap. He picked me up and we immediately went to the nearest Target to buy it. Now that's a dedicated fan right there. Once we did, we spent the rest of the day riding around in the car and blasting it at full volume. The two of us were amazed and blown away by the sound, and we were in awe of the noisiness and glitchiness of the record. We'd never heard anything quite like it before, and we were hooked immediately. We must have played the album 4 or 5 times in a row that day. I can vividly remember how hot the CD was when I took it out of the car player and was extremely confused at how it changed its color. That, of course, led me down the rabbit hole of the ARG, which spooked the hell out of me at such an early age. Fucking 9, he's getting into the ARG?
What the hell?
That's wild stuff right there. Good for you.
Dude, in 2007, I probably couldn't even tell you what an ARG was.
No.
This 9-year-old is fucking way cooler than I will ever be.
I could. I was in my early 20s, though, and I was following the ARG. Okay. This album also basically kickstarted my music-making journey. I soon discovered the remix.nin site after hearing the album and immediately downloaded all the multi-tracks and dragged them into GarageBand, which was my first time ever using a DAW. That's digital audio workstation, Jess.
Thank you.
So you have Trent Reznor to blame for all the weirdo music I've put out over these last couple of years. Also, likewise for me, I probably make music because I became addicted to his music in formative years. Anyways, this album means a lot to me, and seeing y'all do this remix showcase excited the hell out of me. Getting to do a YZ remix brought me back to being a kid again. Thank y'all so much for that. It was really fun. Y'all are the best. Thank you for everything you've done. My heart goes out to y'all during this tough time. R.I.P. to the one and only Oscar. His sassy meows will be forever missed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Armand. Yes, he will be missed. And it's a bummer to not have them on the show anymore. Not to get everyone down. But thank you very much for the memory lane.
Yes, thank you. Now we have one from
our friend
Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura is going to be our shelter. She doesn't know that yet. But when everything goes to hell up here, we're just going to be running up to Canada.
Yep. I hope you like harboring illegal aliens, Laura. You're about to get two.
Okay. Hi, Blake and Jess. Year Zero was the album that really got me into Nin. I was 14 when it was released in 2007, and I bought it alongside TDS, which is wild to think about because they are such different albums.
Yes, they are.
I like TDS, but I had an easier time getting into YZ. I can see that. YZ, I think, is way poppier.
Yeah, but so noisy and strange.
I don't have a clear timeline of when I first started listening to Nin. I know I was watching Much Music, which is the Canadian equivalent of MTV, a lot during those years, and that's how Nin got on my radar. I'm pretty sure I was already paying attention in late 2006, so I'm thinking it was the Closer video that got my attention. I definitely remember Survivalism being released. I was listening to metal at the time. Favorite band immediately prior to Nin was Slipknot, so I actually don't know what drew me to the extremely electronic music. I think it might be because there's some harshness to it that resonated with me. I had a CD player clock radio, and I woke up to YZ a lot. Imagine being jolted awake by hyperpower every morning.
Yeah, crazy.
I remember discovering the heat sensitivity on the disc. That was cool.
There we go.
Anyway, my thesis statement is Year Zero is very special. It's maybe not my favorite album musically. I have to give that one to The Fragile.
Hell yeah.
But it's definitely the most meaningful to me. I also saw Nin for the first time on the Lights in the Sky tour in July 2008, which was incredible. Trent played a glockenspiel.
Ooh, a good soldier, I bet.
I snuck a digital camera into the show Bad Girl and took some shitty pictures, a few attached for your viewing pleasure. Ooh. Thanks for the pod. Oh, by the way, speaking of digital cameras, we're packing and cleaning, and I found my old Nikon Coolpix.
Yeah, this is crazy timing.
Yeah, and I plugged it in and charged it, and it still works. And I pulled it up, and my God, the indie sleaziest pictures you've ever seen in your life. Insane.
Yeah, you can see me with hair. Oscar, when he was really young.
I was rocking some like light blue Wayfarers a lot. Oh, I think they were imitation Wayfarers.
This is an interesting blast from the past. But I like your pictures, Laura. I hope you're cool with me uploading them to like the Nailed socials, because it's interesting to see these like digital camera pics from that era. I love the grain on this camera. Definitely not like an iPhone. Mm-mm. So anyway, thank you very much, as always, Laura. And get that pullout couch ready. We're coming. Okay. Our last one is a letter from someone called Judson Ogram. A Year Zero reference. Also known as Parapin Lab Escaped Gibbon. I started calling them God Gibbon. And they also put God Gibbon in the subject. And this is a whole long thing. So we'll see how this goes. It's going to be hard to translate.
And some of it also is asking questions about stuff we haven't really gotten into yet. So we might not have very good answers for those, but, or we might skip over them until later.
Okay. It starts with a warning. Some say it was a warning. The following message originated from outside the Solutions Backwards Initiative secure intranet and has a high temporal instability index, suggesting a timeline fluctuation. Level 3 clearance required for further reading. So basically, this email came from the future. Hello, my friends. I hope this message finds you well. Here are my notes on the materials from our captured comrade, classified. Oh, name redacted. I hope they can help to offer some additional insight into what he uncovered. And it says, personal headcanons beliefs about YZ, unofficial, unverified. Some are so far-fetched and couldn't possibly ever be intentional. Some extremely tenuous connections at best, but still interesting to me, if even just as ways to further analyze the themes and lyrics. Judson takes this shit seriously, as you'll see. Number one?
Yeah. So one, Year Zero and The Slip. Over time, I've begun thinking that The Slip could be another protest album in the world of Year Zero, but heard in real time versus being sent back in time. Lack of distortion and glitching as seen on Year Zero. And it touches on a lot of the themes that are similar. Yeah, a lot. I think a lot of people have this kind of theory, too. Yep. I'm going to read through some of these. Subjugation, being treated like property by those in charge and being killed off. A million letting you and head down. Feeling very extreme things or the lack of any feeling due to the circumstances. Feeling like things are completely surreal and unreal. And feeling like you become something else. Again, a million, discipline, head down, and demon seed. Pollution, letting you. Greed by those in charge, letting you. Running out of the will to fight back and possibly giving in, discipline. Destroying things and fighting back, demon seed. People with bad motives whispering to you, the greater good. To lights in the sky. Looking back at your past actions and realizing that you acted with hubris and are now going to pay the price, lights in the sky. Things in the sky, those things arriving and having it be associated with a moment of introspection and regret, lights in the sky. Staying with someone you care about until the end, lights in the sky. Both albums also contain a very similar slow and quiet song with references to the sky and things in the sky that sound very familiar. They don't refer to the presence explicitly, so maybe it's told from the perspective of someone who couldn't see the presence, but knew there was at least something going on, or the lights are bombs and the person speaking was instead a victim to one of many conflicts in that story. Also, perhaps this album is told from the perspective of someone with more to lose, and that's why it's less direct in a lot of its commentary and unwilling to directly address the presence for fear of being sent to Judson Ogrim. Whew, okay, that's a lot.
Yeah, I think there is a connection between the albums, as we'll see in the artwork at the very least, but we'd be getting ahead of ourselves. We'll get there, right? Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. To be continued.
And also, these are some themes that I think that Trent has been addressing throughout his entire career. Subjugation, mm-hmm. greed.
A lot of this is just Trent being Trent.
Yeah. So.
But no, I think there is something there.
Okay. You're next.
The next comparison is Year Zero and Ghosts 1-4. As I've listened to more of Ghosts, I've started to imagine it as God sorting through the wreckage after it, by way of the presence, wiped the earth clean as threatened in the warning. It's reliving the lives of everyone to learn what went wrong and why. I never thought about searching for deeper meaning in Ghosts, but maybe I should have been. Okay, I'll go to the next one. Year Zero and the Downward Spiral, The Fragile and Pretty Hate Machine. Maybe TDS and The Fragile are post-cataclysm. Dystopian themes, religion being fake and hollow is referenced a lot, mourning and loss, desperation, trauma, more references to God and corruption and societal pressure, God reaching down in the wretched. And perhaps PHM is someone renouncing their religion in the lead-up to YZ once they see what it's being weaponized into. Lots of very critical lyrics toward religion and being let down by it, along with reference to greed and corruption. Fair points.
Well, I think that saying PHM is part of Year Zero is kind of a stretch.
Yes.
As they said before, because I don't think that this was planned that far in advance at all. I just think that there are themes that Trent explores over and over again in his music, like most artists do. So you can easily make that connection, or, you know, it's just that thing of when you're looking for ways to connect things, you'll find them. And we see that with like QAnon and conspiracy theories in general.
So, not calling you QAnon.
Oh, no, sorry. That's you're not at all what I'm saying.
You're just a really big fan, and so it's understandable. We all, you know, we all go down these rabbit holes.
Questions. Do you want me to read the first one?
Sure.
Okay. Do you think the presence is God reaching down? I'm going to read the rest of this question, and then we'll talk about it. I've heard a lot of speculation that it's actually aliens, but personally, this kind of cheapens and ruins the YZ concept for me and the significance and creepiness of the presence. It also makes it feel like yet another faction to be suspicious of in the story, and that would just be way too many if you're asking
me. Too many factions.
Just exerting their will over everyone else versus divine retribution for what we've done from a completely separate place/being that is omnipotent.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was thinking about the Friends joke with Joey. Every time I see omnipotent, I think of that.
I don't know that joke.
Well, I feel sad for you.
Joey, omnipotent. You are?
Which is part of why that aspect of YZ is so impactful and scary and emotional to me. Parts where there are a reference to all of our eyes and it referring to itself as we are definitely things that make the alien angle look possible, but I interpret this as maybe many destroying angels / angels of punishment / messengers of death, etc. And there's a link to the destroying angel Wikipedia.
From the Bible?
Being sent to take us out and speaking to us, or possibly God, is really a multitude of otherworldly and divine beings all thinking as one, which to me is an interesting idea and kind of ups the creepiness factor of the idea of a higher power.
Yeah.
Do you think the presence is God reaching down?
I maybe think of it as somewhere between God and aliens. I don't like either of those as an absolute, mm-hmm. but I like something maybe more ambiguous between the two.
Do you think it's a mass delusion because of all the drugs and things in this world that are going on?
Possibly, but they also hinted at you don't need drugs to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of people saw it. Yeah, or maybe some type of alien or extra dimensional presence that is so powerful to us, it just seems godlike. So it might as well be a godlike being.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree. The creepiness stays intact if you keep it more mysterious. So I do like that.
That's true.
I never thought it was a reference to the song "The Wretched." A lot of people say that, but I just never assumed that, yeah. Even though they're similar. The lyrics seem to describe it.
Yeah, the lyrics basically describe what the presence is doing.
I don't know that there's a major connection there, intentionally, at least.
There's a question about ad violence. Let's put a pin in that for now.
Okay.
So we'll come back to that later.
There's going
to
be more alternate reality game later on.
Okay. What's your favorite aspect of the story and vibe of Year Zero? I think it's people grappling with the choices they've made and how we've got to where we are, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, oh no, not the consequences of my actions. well. Yeah.
I think that's cool. I don't know. I like all the drug stuff.
Yeah.
And not because I'm a druggie. That's not true. I'm completely sober right now. But I do think I've always liked dystopian stories where there's like mind control with drugs. Mm. I'm thinking of like, I believe it was Brave New World.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like picking out all the dystopian elements in this that you can find in other works. And I think it's just really smart how you put it all together in this way.
Now it just seems so bleak and dark in contrast to what's going on now in our real world, mm-hmm. that it's hard for me to think of things I like about the story. It's just all so bleak.
It is really bleak.
But
I just like dystopias. So
yeah, I do too. I do too. And the overall vibe, I dig. It's hard to even put my finger on why. I like there's a sci-fi nerdiness to the whole thing that I always liked as a lifelong nerd. I picked up on that. I like alternate reality shit. This is maybe more time travel, but you get what I mean.
Are you safe right now? Cough twice if Brian is in the room with you.
That I can't comment on.
What is your favorite YZ ARG website, media, or in-person event? Oh, well, I'm going to be kind of boring. So I think for websites, I like Another Version of the Truth. I think that's interesting imagery.
Yeah, where you wipe away the...
Like this beautiful, like, you know...
Right.
Farmland, middle America image, and it's just like a desolate, burnt down hellscape. Okay. Media, I like the physical media of the album and how it, you know, changes color after you play the CD. And it gets warm. I think that's just a really cool thing. I've never heard of any other artists doing that. I'm sure maybe some have. I don't know. I also like the murals. I think those are really cool. Yeah. And it just shows how into this ARG everyone was. Like, putting murals up is really cool. In-person event is going to be the end.
Like, yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's obviously... The open source resistance meeting at the end of the ARG obviously stands out just because it's so fucking insane. And if you were there, we still have to talk to you. So get in touch.
Yes, please. We need witnesses. Like, surely.
No one out there who was there is talking about it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you just got like a super secret concert and then you're not going to talk about it.
And more so than the websites, I just love the fact that USB sticks were left out there in the world.
And I love that they were unlabeled and people just stuck them in their computers.
Because all of that like, what if no one picked it up and no one put it in a computer? Like, yeah. It could have been ignored. So it was all a big gamble.
But. I mean, someone could have picked it up and just turned it into, like, the lost and found at the venue.
Someone left their USB drive.
I found this by the urinal.
Back then, they were more expensive.
That's true. Would you be interested to hear what YZ sounded like before it was sent back in time? Personally, I feel like it's impossible to have it be the work of art it is without all the glitches and distortion. And from a very practical perspective, Trent created the album with that as an aspect right along. So I don't think a clean version of it would really be all that compelling, since the glitches and distortions make up such integral and classic parts of so many tracks. But interesting to think about. No, I don't want to hear a clean version. I love those glitches and distortion, and that's what makes this album for me.
It is integral. It is inter.
That's a hard. Why is that word
so? Integral. Yes. To it. It's part of it. But I almost would want to hear the clean version just as an experiment, because I think that would be interesting. But I don't know. That might be boring.
Well, then I think like all the cool outros would be ruined.
Yeah. Like Great Destroyer would just be quiet or something.
Yeah.
Be a short song.
Yeah.
That's cool to think about, yes.
Yeah. YZ is very near and dear to my heart and has truly opened my eyes to the dangers of the ways of thinking that it warned us about. Mm-hmm. And you need only watch the news to see just how prescient it was. Truly, truly.
We know that.
Mm-hmm. It has inspired me to look around and learn, educate myself on fascism and extreme polarization and demonization of innocent people and groups and how it can be fought. Learn the tactics used to divide and subjugate so they can be called out and exposed, and given me the small mercy of being able to lift my head above the mayhem and chaos, if even just for a quick breath, to see that it's all just a game to keep us distracted and fighting one another so we don't realize how much we're being sold out behind closed doors. Although, I'm not sure they're really trying to hide it anymore. Love, Parapin Testing Gibbon, number 187262A.
Oh, I'm glad they have a number.
Yeah, I'm glad it's from 262A, because I hate 262B.
Yeah, fuck them. All my homies hate 262B. I need to look up this number now, because maybe that's a clue to something. So I'll look into that later.
Look into it. What is
interesting.
It? Did it bring you somewhere?
It brings me to a big, long number that includes that number and letter, package 54, circle, Mesa, bone. What the hell is this? Durable circle. What's Mesa bone? It's some product that's being sold on a website, but I don't know what it is. It's something for industrial restroom environments. This might be a $6,000 toilet. I wish there was a picture of it. So there's something to that. To be continued.
Interesting.
It's the product model number of $6,000 restroom equipment. Okay.
That was
Thank you for that whole thing.
Yeah, that was a really fun letter.
Some of it maybe we'll get to later. And thanks everyone for tuning in. And sorry that it's not an episode about a song.
That's coming next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. While we're in the middle of moving, it's very hard to do our song research and get one of those episodes together. We had... it was easier for us to do a letters thing first.
Yeah, we're trying to. I think we're about to wrap up the hardest stuff in packing. So,
yeah, whew. Packing is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it makes me just want to burn all my possessions. Like, why do I have this shit? It's ridiculous. I'm done. I'm done. Fucking done.
Anyway, thank you. The next one is My Violent Heart.
That's right.
First song. I think we already said all this at the end of Capital G, but yeah, stay tuned.
Never played live, right?
Never fucking played live. Crazy. Even though it was the first song ever heard from Year Zero. USB song.
Maybe we'll get it this year. Maybe.
I would love to be that show.
Maybe in St. Paul.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
Anybody out there going to Minnesota show, hit us up. Maybe.
Yeah, let's all go get pizza or some shit before.
Speaking of pizza, we really have to go and get food now before it sells out. It's a long story.
Yeah, listen. It's vegan cashew chicken, okay? We got to get it. We got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Got to line up.
Only in Springfield Mo, baby. Right, thanks for tuning in. Hey.
What?
Can we stop?
Yeah, I want some fucking chicken.